We are living in some interesting times for sure. So what is God saying to the church in these days? I believe he's saying a lot, actually. One thing he is saying and wanting to do is a call to a deeper humility and to work in our hearts a deeper humility than before. And I really believe it's a theme that we're going to hear a lot about in the months ahead. One of the most important, essential qualities we must have during difficult or turbulent times is humility. And one of the most important or essential qualities we must have during those times of confusion and uncertainty is humility. And one of the most important and essential qualities we must have during times of blessing and fruitfulness is humility. Because we all know how easy it is to move toward pride when everything's going great. And one of the most important and essential qualities we must have during those periods of quiet and silence is humility as well. That's right. We need to have humility at all times, don't we? In fact, it's a key to the Christian walk, living here on earth. It's a road we have to travel throughout our lives. In fact, it's not really an option. So what is humility? First, I think it's probably important to note, it does not mean going through life with a woe am I type of attitude. I can't do anything right. God's word said that we have been made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, if we're in Christ Jesus. In fact, he's made us to live in a supernatural realm in Christ Jesus. But humility does mean that I must recognize deep inside of me that I am absolutely nothing without him. In fact, I can bear no fruit outside of him. Actually, that's the message of the parable of the vine and the fruit in John 15, isn't it? And it means I consider my natural abilities, my natural accomplishments as Paul says in Philippians 3, as rubbish in order to gain Christ. So humility means that I'm not insisting on my own way or my own opinions or my own ideas, my own desires, even when they happen to be something I cherish very much. Humility is not thinking more highly of myself than I ought. I know more than others. I understand things better than other people. Many verses here. Let's just look at just a couple of them. Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to eat, than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And if we jump down to verse 16, we see the same type of thing. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And let's face it, it's really easy, especially when, as we grow in the Lord and God uses us, we begin to think, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I must be doing something right. And that's the path that gets us off the road of humility. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. I like that. It says, you know, again, don't be wise in your own eyes. And one thing that we can probably tell right away is that fear of the Lord is connected with humility. Proverbs 26, I like this one, verse 12, it says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Get that. You know, you're better off being a fool than not having humility and being wise in your own eyes. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Are we just talking about basic Christian living? Yes, that should be discipleship 101, the first lessons of walking with Christ. Preferring one another, extending mercy, forgiving one another, forbearing with one another, putting others first. Yes, all that has to do with humility. God arranges things in each of our lives to make sure we understand humility and that we don't lose it. It means that much to Him. He will put us in situations where we must exercise humility, or else we bear some type of consequences that aren't good. Proverbs 17:3, I don't think we have this up here, but it says, "The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests hearts." You see, we're worth more than silver and gold, aren't we? And if those things need to be refined, much more we do. And so God's going to make sure that He refines us and gets rid of all the impurities, that we can be a pure vessel for Him. Now, the Lord in the Scriptures talks a lot about pride and the danger of pride. And of course, there's, you know, the opposite of humility is pride. Let's just kind of take a look at some of these. And I'm just going to read some of these passages. And I just pray that these words would soak into us, because they're so, so important. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through maybe 19. "There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him." Think, what are they? You know, is it being off in this doctrine? Is it murder? Is it this, that? Well, let's kind of see. Haughty eyes, that's number one. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and the one who spreads strife among brothers. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it? But notice, what does it start off with? Haughty eyes. We think we're better than other people. Proverbs 15, verse 33. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Did you know that? Humility always comes before true and lasting honor. It's just the road you have to travel. Proverbs 18, verse 12. "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor." Well, we already kind of said that, but here it says, what comes before destruction? It's pride, isn't it? And there are two paths that all of us can go. And I know we live in a society that we kind of feel like, well, I'm kind of a mixture of both. But God's word kind of says either we're on the road of humility or we're on the road of pride. Proverbs 21, verse 4. It says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin." This is haughty eyes, a proud heart. It says it really clear. It's sin. It's not just a personality weakness or something like that. It is sin. Proverbs 22, verse 4. "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord." By the way, you see how those two, we've already read probably three passages where there's, you know, they're connected. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are what? Riches, honor, and life. Pretty clear, isn't it? And then let's look at one more in Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 23. It says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor." Again, we keep seeing honor follows humility. And pride, what follows it? destruction. It's clear in the scriptures. And, you know, there's, of course, there's a lot of other proverbs that say the same thing in different ways. But I just want to give you a sampling to see this is something very important. When I think of pride, one of the first stories I think about is Nebuchadnezzar. And we can read about him in Daniel 4, this particular story. And this is the story where, you know, actually, you know, God prophesies to him that, you know, he's getting too proud. But he, you know, he was always thinking he was the greatest. And everything he did was the greatest. And God warned him. And you can read, we just kind of jump down to verse 28 in Daniel 4. All this happened in Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, after the Lord had kind of spoken to him through Daniel, you know, it was a dream that he had, but you can read about that. You can read the whole story. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Notice it's my, all that. While the word of the Lord was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you, and you'll be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field. You'll be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And basically, he went through a period of 7 years where God just let him just kind of wander around the field. He was crazy. Because what? He said, "Isn't this Babylon the Great that I have made?" God is against pride. However, at the end of that period, and we kind of, you can kind of read on the rest of it, all of a sudden it goes into the first person of Nebuchadnezzar. But just verse 37, the last verse, it says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven." And this is, he was a king, but he all of a sudden now he's honoring the King of Heaven. "For all his works are true, and his ways just, and he is," get this, "and he is able to humble those who walk in pride." And that's really a story all through the scriptures. The prophets declare this over and over and over. In fact, let's just look at one of them. Let's look at Isaiah 2. Because it says it really well. Maybe starting in verse 11. This is what the Lord thinks about pride. "The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord will be exalted in that day." The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. "For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful craft. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." God declares he is against pride. And I know it's easy to dismiss, you know, this whole thing about pride and humility as personality. But brothers and sisters, God doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see it that way at all. Let's jump to the New Testament. And we're not going to read a whole lot more, but Luke 14 Jesus gives the parable of the guest, in which he talks about, and you can read it later. It starts in verse 7. But it's the story where, you know how the invited guests, they were picking out the places of honor, and you know, and then he says, listen, when you go to somewhere like this, you know, always take the last seat. And then that way they can move you up. Because if you take the first seat, the best seat, someone may, the owner or the host of the party may kind of say, listen, I'm sorry, but can you move over here? And but what I really want to look at, and this is so true for the parables of Jesus, usually the last verse or last two verses, he summarized what's the main message. And here in verse 11, it says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, that's the way Jesus says it. And then maybe one other verse, and this is a passage I know here at Emmanuel Fellowship we've talked about quite a bit. But verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, 1 Peter, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. All of us do that. And for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what does that mean? If I'm proud, God's going to be opposed to me. If I'm humble, I'm going to receive grace. And I don't know about you, but my life, I need God's grace. And then it goes on and says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you at the present time. There's so many other places, all through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, the Psalms especially, have a lot about humility and pride. And we didn't even look at those. So anyway, in conclusion for today, several things we can say. One, it is clear, crystal clear, that humility is highly praised by God. Another thing, it's also real clear that God hates pride. He's against pride. And he will not allow us to carry proud-like attitudes around. And it actually, there will probably be seasons in each of our lives where he seems to address pride or the lack of true humility in our lives in a greater way. And my suggestion is that, my recommendation, my exhortation is that if God's dealing with you about this, don't be proud and resist. Let God do his work in you. Now, we're actually going to continue this next week because I think there's a lot more to this. So just today, one of the things I just want to do is just let you know, hey, listen, this is all through the scriptures, the prophets, you know, the Psalms, New Testament, Old Testament, you know, stories like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. And let's ask God to do a deep work in humility, to take us to a different level. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd open our eyes to see the ugliness of pride and how that goes against everything that you call us to do. And Lord, open our eyes to see how much you value humility. Lord, we ask that you'd shine your light in every dark, prideful part of our life. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace which you promise to those who walk in humility, that we'd be able to live the life that you've called us, that walk of humility. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.